Today, the Lord's Supper is the title. It's an encounter with Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Lord, we're going to take communion today. It's something that, quite honestly, before COVID, once COVID hit, we really shied away from it, Lord. But it has such meaning. It reminds us of what you did for us, Lord. We can see the movies. We can read the words in your holy word. But we really cannot comprehend what you did for us. That you went through God turning his back on you, Lord. Lord, I know hell is a real place. I pray that we would grab a hold of that. That we would see you place people in our lives so we can do all that we can do to make sure they don't go to hell. Lord, my opinion is one of the most miserable features of hell is you're not there. I can't imagine life without your presence, Lord. Lord, I see the places before I accepted you into my life where you still moved on my behalf, where you prepared me, Lord, for a relationship with you. And I pray that today, Lord, we wouldn't be thinking about anything else. All that's going on, all the activities, etc. We think of you, Jesus. In your name, amen. As you know, I love baseball. And I think baseball did a really cool thing this year. They have a pitch clock, you know, so they sped the game up. Because I used to get so sick of watching baseball. A pitch would come, the guy wouldn't swing, but he still has to go out and he has to adjust this batting glove, then this batting glove, and adjust the cup. If you don't know what it is, I ain't going to even go there, you know, after every stinking pitch. And it's like, really? You're a professional baseball player. You probably don't even use gloves. Why? Everybody has a ritual. When I played basketball, they taught you, you take a deep breath, foul line, 3 dribbles only, then you take your shot. We all have rituals. But it's important for us to understand how we value rituals. You know, I remember, you know, the movie The Jesus Movement, Jesus Revolution. I remember The Jesus Movement. I mean, you know, what was it? It was a bunch of young people that didn't want the old-style church. They wanted something fresh. They wanted Jesus in a way that is relevant to them. We were young once. We have a ritual? Oh, we do. Worship. Bulletin, Sunday school, the message. Sometimes you're going to be coming in. If you guys are late, I'm going to be preaching because I'm going to start off with the message. I'm going to rock your world. I had a pastor in Copenhagen come once. Have people switch it up. If I said to you guys, get up and go over there and sit and vice versa, don't worry. Don't worry. I'm not going to. Half of you would freak out and say, can I hear Jesus? Why? We are ritualistic. We sit there. Proady sit there. Oh, we know where the DePeros are going to be. Oh, I'm not ritual. At least you are. We all have rituals. But I'm going to look at a ritual that Jesus Christ told us to follow. And we do it in remembrance of Jesus. Now, my first point is we have to learn how to navigate rituals. I was reading a book on the Lord's Supper by an Ian MacLeod called Preaching on the Lord's Supper. What do you do when you meet somebody? I did it today. You shake hands. It's funky. When I first started going to Ghana on missions trip, you wave goodbye to somebody. I remember the first time I did it. I waved goodbye to a group of people, and they all run up to me. I said, "Joseph, I'm trying to get out of here." He said, "Well, no, that means come here in our culture." We all have it. Ritual are patterns that have meaning to us. But the fact is, we have to realize something about a ritual. It can either have a bunch of meaning, or it can have no meaning whatsoever. What did Jesus do? He went after the meaningless rituals of the Pharisees because they looked at it as acts. If you do it this way, then you're going to be closer to God. Jesus messed with their minds. Look, I love if you read the encounter of Christ when he talks about, you're eating my body. Now, you really aren't. I had a friend of mine, I loved what he, you know what I was going to do today? I was going to bring a bunch of cold brew coffee, and I was going to cut up a bunch of glazed donuts, and I was going to say, this is communion. Some of you, it would bother you. It isn't really Jesus. It doesn't matter if it is a wafer that really tastes like cardboard and juice that tastes like cardboard juice. Or if you have anything else. I love it. The one time Pete Mayer was at Brown's house, small group, goes, "Hey, Greg, what'd you have for dinner?" "We got pizza and Coke." "Good, pass it around. We're having communion." It stretched people. "Is he going to kill me?" That is ritual. It's the thought process behind it. Jesus goes after this stuff, which is meaningless. One of the coolest things for me, because I didn't come to the Lord till I was like 20. This is the only church I knew. Then when I went to pastor another church, I thought they were going to hell. They didn't know how to do communion right. They didn't know how to take an offering right. But then I realized, well, they're not burning. So wait, you can do things a different way with God? And that's what I love about having our local pastors group. You got the charismaniacs way over here, then you have the super conservative, and we all love Jesus, and it's really okay. Because you know what's going to be cool about heaven? We're going to go there, and we're going to get how wrong our opinions are. Because we know that we know that we know. And God's going to say, wrong. Some churches, even born-again churches, baptize infants. We don't baptize infants. We dedicate children. We baptize adults, people once, or younger people, once they come into a relationship on their own with Jesus. And even if I dunk you in the water and bring you up, that doesn't mean you're going to heaven. I was talking to this special religious church guy once, and I'm not going to say what religion he belonged to, but he was Baptist and he was from the South. So we're having this argument about baptism. And if you really didn't know what I just said, don't ask me. I said, "Oh, you need to get baptized to go to heaven." And part of Mark says that, but let me say, the very end of Mark, most scholars would tell you that's really not part of the Bible. But anyways, I said, "How about the thief on the cross? It rained." I said, "I guess we're all saved then. Because it rains on everybody. Harborfest people, they're really saved. You know what I'm saying?" What was fresh to us in the 70s and the 80s has grown to be antiquated with today's youth. Part of what I am praying about in moving forward as a church is we do need new blood, and that we need new blood in leadership, because you know what? I'm sorry. I know I have my limitations, and it's okay to say that. Can God still use me? Of course he can. But I went from being a brother to being a father to being a grandfather. And I'm not going to ever compromise the gospel. But if you remember, before we moved to the school, man, we didn't wear jeans to church. And 20 years ago, we wore those satanic torture things called ties. Because we knew if you wore a tie, Jesus really loved you. You know what's good about ties? Absolutely nothing. I told Mel, if I die before you, there's going to be one rule. If you have a tie, you ain't getting into the service. We have to keep the main thing the main thing. Another ritual. Hey, how you doing? Let's be honest, I don't want to hear it. 95% of the time. Don't look at me that way. You don't either. If you, hey, Dick, how you doing? Hey, can you sit down? Because I really want to tell you. You would run the other way. But why do we say that? Because that's what we do. It's kind of like the joke. If a man goes away to a conference, a men's retreat, he comes home, the wife says, hey, how was it? Man, it was great. We're done. The wife comes home, how was it? Grab a chair, buddy, because she's going to tell you. Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, breakfast and dinner, Sunday. That's okay. That's just the way people are made. But we have to learn how to navigate our rituals in a way that has meaning. My second point is we have to value communion. Amos says, I hate all of your show and pretense, the hypocrisy of your religious festivals and solemn assemblies. I remember I'm a young pastor, I spoke out of 1 Corinthians, and I went past verse 26, which says, be careful when you take communion, because if you take the Lord's Supper without a connection to Him, what does He say? This is why some of you die. You bring judgment on yourself. Oh, did this one guy get mad at me? And he came up and started rebuking me. The senior pastor at the time turned and said, it's in the Bible. What is Jesus saying? What is Paul saying in Corinthians? Don't do this. If you don't have a born-again relationship with Jesus Christ, if you haven't gone to Him and said, I'm a sinner, Lord, please forgive me. I know You're God. Come into my heart. I'm going to live for You, not for me. You see, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees how important it is to wash the outside of your cups and the inside when the inside of you is full of crud. I mean, the disciples walked through the fields, they grabbed a little bit of wheat, popped it in their mouth, and next thing you know, the Pharisees wanted to stone them. Communion's a sacrament, which is a Latin word meaning sacramentum, which is a military term, which means an oath of enlistment. So when you take communion, you are saying, God, I am committing my life fully to You. One of my funny, when I was a young Christian, we had first bought the church. We had communion, and there's this young usher, I don't know if you know him, his name's Anthony DePiro, and he's in the kitchen. And we have this thing back when we used to cut up the bread, and he's just chucking the juice. I moved away from him because I knew he was going to hell. Because I know you do not do this. You do not take this thing lightly. But he didn't burn. Why did that bother me? I had a religious spirit. You have to do it this way. I'm not making fun of communion. This ritual has powerful meaning. God, everything I have is Yours. Communion is an encounter with Jesus Christ. It might be a wafer, it might be a little bit of juice, but it's an encounter that says, God, I'm Yours. I'm going to do this in remembrance of You. The day we do it doesn't matter. If sometimes, because I have some that's in my office, in the afternoon, I just pop one open. Man, I just have communion with God, and I just pray, and I have a good old time, quiet before the Lord. You know, I heard a story about a little girl who went to big church for the first time. It was a communion Sunday. When all the elements were served, she was overheard saying to her mom in a loud whisper, the snack we get in nursery is a lot better, and we get a whole lot more juice. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I take this, and it reminds me that Jesus Christ died for what I did, that he took the torture that I deserved. We don't take communion lightly. It's meant for people that say yes to Jesus. You know, Jesus tells us in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I love Revelations 3:20. I know I quote it a lot. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. This is how Jesus knocks on our door sometimes. Can I have the ushers pass out the elements? Please still listen to me in a couple minutes. In a couple minutes, I'm going to have the worship team come on up. We're going to take communion. They're going to play a song. There's not going to be any words up there. And after we pass it, let me give you instructions. There is a clear top you take off first. And you get this thing. Then you take the purple thing off. If not, you will make a mess. If you want to help children do it, that's fine. But as we do this, during the song, I'm just going to ask you to remain seated. I'm going to ask you to thank God for sending Jesus Christ to die, that a sinless man died for my sins, died for your sins. I remember all too well that he paid the penalty that rightfully belongs to us. The wafer and the juice are God's way of knocking on our heart. Is this a ritual? Is this a sacrament? Yes, it is, but it has meaning. It has spiritual meaning. Just like when we hold a baptismal service and you put the person under and you bring them up, it's just putting somebody into water. It signifies the old man being buried, the new man being raised up, and it has a powerful significance to the spiritual world, which says, I belong to Jesus. He says, if you deny me before men, I deny you before the Father. And I believe a baptism is part of saying, Jesus, I belong to you. Just as I believe that communion is saying, I belong to you, Lord. Let's worship team, you can come on up, please. Let this ritual become an encounter with you and the true living God. You remember in Matthew 4:19, Jesus calls out to Peter and Andrew, come, follow me. This is part of what God's doing today with the elements. He's saying, come, follow me. So during this song, I'm going to ask you to make the commitment to surrender and follow the Lord, to recommit your life to him. Maybe you've never made that commitment. Today is the day of your salvation. Today is the day that Jesus says, I am standing at the door of your life and knocking. So Lord, I've decided to follow you and I am not looking back. So as we sing this one last song, and afterward I'll come up and close in prayer, during the song, I'm just asking you, you can do it by yourself, with your family, whatever. Just make that commitment to the Lord and realize the powerful encounter with God that the Lord's Supper represents. Sweet.
Take joy, my King, in what you wear. Make it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Make it be a sweet, sweet.
Lord, we thank you. We can never thank you enough for your offer of eternity, Lord. Let us not take lightly our relationship with you, our commitment to you, Lord. I pray that you would show me the places, Lord, where I really need to let go of myself and to trust you in a deeper measure. Jesus, I just am overwhelmed by how much you love me and by what you did for us on that cross. I just thank you, Lord, for this congregation. Pray that you would be honored and glorified in all of our lives. Bless my friends. In your name, amen. Blessings.